Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of the IGN UK podcast. It's our Last of Us 2 spoiler cast because we have a lot to say about this game and we don't just want to stick it in the middle of a podcast because if you haven't played it, you'll have to skip through and it'll be annoying for you. But with me, Simon, is Dale.
Hello, Simon.
Hello, Dale. Me and you have already briefly spoken about this game a couple of times.
Yeah, but I think we're going to go into a bit more detail today.
Exactly. We're going to have full spoilers. So at the start here, we should say, if you haven't played it, full spoilers. Do not listen to this.
Yeah.
Because we've now got Joe Screbbles, who's also played the game.
I actually go by Stalker Murker now. So you could just refer to me as Stalker Murker. That would be great.
What about just SM?
S&M? Yeah, I'll go for S&M.
Okay, Joe, we'll take that.
Joe's got those fresh opinions as well. You're fresh off the ending, aren't you?
He's fresh off it.
Oh, God, yeah. They're fresh. They stink. They absolutely
straight
stink.
Straight out of the oven, like a Greg's Bap.
I think we should cover very early that if you are one of the tedious people who's like, not actually a good game, though, you're not going to enjoy this podcast.
Because I think me and Dale have already stated we love this game.
Yep,
and
I absolutely do. I think it's nigh on a masterpiece.
Yes. I've thought about this game a lot since we last spoke about it. Still in my head, like, if I had to review this game, still a nailed on 10 out of 10 masterpiece for me. But yeah, Joe, what did you love so much about it, briefly?
It's the best looking game I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. That's a very easy, like, surface level thing, but I can't overstate how many times I stopped and was just like, this is unbelievable. I don't understand how this is on a PS4. It's just ridiculous. And I think it's the courage of its convictions in how it tells a story is, like, incredible.
Yeah.
No, we haven't seen a AAA game story told like this ever before, and I don't think we'll see it again for a long time, because I think people are now going to start looking at this and realizing how far they can go with these kind of things, if indeed anyone has the money to do it. And I still, like, cards on the table, I still think the stealth sections in this are not poor, but I just don't enjoy them very much. I didn't enjoy them in Last of Us 1, and I don't enjoy them that much in this. I enjoy them more. But I think human-to-human combat in this game makes most other sort of stealth action stuff just feel amateur by comparison.
Yeah.
And that's partly because it fits in with how I like to play stealth games anyway. I'm more of a use stealth to set up a horrible, angry, loud situation, and that's obviously what Last of Us prizes most. But I just think it's incredible. It just feels so good to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like we're in the similar boat of the infected combat. It's fine. It does the job. You need them in the game.
I'll tell you,
you can't just get rid of the infected.
I'll tell you what.
But the human combat is so good.
I didn't die that much, but the checkpointing in this game is so kind that in a way that I really, really appreciate. Like, because I think any game that still these days indulges in insta-kill stealth basically kind of needs this now, because no one's really up for the idea of just, like, having to do a full section again because they made one small mistake with a slightly hazy stealth system.
It doesn't ever want to get in the way of you seeing the story, which
yeah,
is here.
Like,
it always wants you to move along.
Those deaths are almost more like atmosphere, almost, like, here's what would happen to you, rather than you fucked up, deal with it, which I appreciate. Like, it feels more like a part of building the idea of the threats in the world rather than just, like, a gameplay challenge. Which I know will anger some people, but I don't care.
You're right about the checkpoint, though. It's like so I had to die a lot when I was doing capture. I kept replaying encounters for capture. So I would test a lot of things, and obviously I'd die a lot. And sometimes it would checkpoint you. You've just killed one enemy and moved just outside a building around a car, and then it would checkpoint you there as well. Mm. It was like, it's very generous, but also, you know, that's to its benefit, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yep, it is sensational. And now, we are not going to go quite beat by beat, but we're going to go through the story pretty much chronologically and talk about our favourite bits, because there's a lot of them, frankly.
Well, what's fun, no one from our team will listen to this, like, the rest of the team, IGN UK team, is still in the Ellie section. So,
well, Jesse finished last night.
Yeah, oh, did he? So, oh, okay, yeah, right. Yeah. Sorry, I missed that. Right, so Matt and Al are still in the Ellie section, which I'm really enjoying, because we are all looking at each other in meetings, talking about it, being like, no one fucking mentioned that you go to Abbey later on. Like, because you get this sense that they think they're kind of approaching an ending of some kind, or at least like a major cut in her story, which I was at the time. And then, there is a lot more to deal with.
It's very hard to talk to people about the game. And that's why, briefly, I think a lot of people were annoyed by the review embargo of this game, that you couldn't mention Abbey at all.
Yeah.
But I think, personally, I think it's all worth it for the moment, everyone having that moment of...
I had no idea it was coming. Like, I had an inkling that something was coming, but I did not know that you would play the entirety of that time with Abby, and I'm so glad that wasn't spoiled for me.
So, Cardi, you pretty much seen that happen to me live as well, do you remember? Because I was texting you at about a point, and I was like, oh my God, she's just stabbed up Mel in the stomach. And then later on, I'm like, okay, now I'm playing as Abby. What's going on? And then I'm like, wait, am I playing the rest of the game?
You actually messaged me. You messaged me saying, obviously don't... I think I've got the messages. Yeah. Like, obviously don't tell me, but I think I'm now playing the whole game as Abby. And I went, I didn't know what to say. I was like, I think I just went, it's a cool moment or something. I didn't know what to say.
As soon as it says Seattle day one, you know, it's pretty much telegraphed at that point. But... I think me and Joe briefly spoke about it yesterday. What I expected was more of a Back to the Future 2 sort of thing. Is like, okay, now you're playing as Abby. You see an Ellie in the distance always, but it's not. Mm. It's just completely Abby's own story, and they just happen to intertwine at the end.
Yeah, we'll get to that later on. I think there's some really neat storytelling stuff with that.
We've already gone off, that will happen a lot on this, I imagine. But let's start at the beginning, because the opening, I think it's such... a subtle way of doing a recap without feeling like you're being told, here's what happened last time in case you didn't know or something. But the way that Joel just tells that, and then you get that first guitar section, and throughout the game, like, those guitar bits, just, they could so easily just be cheap, but every single time they use them, for me, it worked for what the story was trying to do.
So I would say, I loved the fact that immediately, straight off the bat, it addresses the biggest question coming out of the last game, which was, like, you know, Joel's thoughts on the situation. Like, is this going to be contained? And, you know, as soon as he tells Tommy, okay, even if he dies, this has got to come out at some point. Obviously, we didn't know at that point how it was going to come out. But I thought it was really, you know, a bold move to go straight in with that.
Did it seem bonkers to you that Jackson was as big as it was 4 years later?
Yes. 4 years, I suppose, is a long time.
But it's like a fucking city.
Settlement.
But like, I remember being quite big at the end of the first game. It was a long time since I played it.
I don't know. The first game, to me, it felt like this is a little settlement built around the dam, basically.
Oh, no, that wasn't Jackson.
Is that not Jackson?
That isn't Jackson. No, that's just the dam.
That's just the dam, but their powers gives them electricity. But you see at the end of the game when they're
on the cliff
and they're looking
over. Of course you do.
Yes,
you do. Yeah.
But, I would like to live in Jackson. That's quite nice. Mm. But... I kind of wish, I just enjoyed that opening of, I suppose the opening before that, sorry, I'm getting timelines mixed. But that opening when you're playing as Joel, but that's the only time you control Joel in the game, not that you know that at that point, but I'm very glad they gave you at least that 5 minutes to control him.
Yeah. I would.
Just because I would have, like, I know it's a big point of conjecture, Joel dying, especially that early on, but I would have felt slightly cheated if I hadn't got to control him for at least a second, I think.
I would say playing as Joel also serves a bigger purpose as well, which is this idea that, you know, you play as Abby early on. So it sets up this idea of you're playing multiple characters, and not, I think if you didn't play as Joel and you were only playing as Ellie and then randomly you start playing as Abby in a mission, it would feel weird. But we've been playing with Joel as well, okay, I'm going to be jumping around with characters all the way through this game. It didn't give me the obvious hint that Abby was going to be a main character.
So, yeah, the first time it just cuts to Abby out of nowhere and you're playing, so you don't know who she is, what her name is. What did you think was going on?
I thought Owen was going to be the big bad of this game. Like, in that opening scene, he seemed really sinister to me. I don't know why. When I look back at it now, I think
he's doing that creepy. He's like, come here.
Yeah, he's doing that weird thing of like, follow me into the wilderness for no reason. Yeah. Like, I suppose. I think I had a general fear of like, oh, is this just going to turn out really horrible? Like, is he going to do something?
That's what I thought as well. Yeah, I was thinking something.
But like, I didn't go as far as like, he's big bad. I just took it as like, oh, is this going to introduce some sort of trauma for this character?
Yeah.
Who, because of trailers, I kind of vaguely knew she's going to be something. Like, we have seen Abby before this game came out. But like, yeah, it's one of those moments where you're just like, because of the fucking history of The Last of Us, you know that something could go horrifically wrong here. Yeah.
I think it's Owen's delivery in those scenes as well. He's very sort of, there's no like sort of flamboyance to the way he's talking at all. And he just, and like you said, the fact that he's leading me, just follow me. I thought, what's he going to do to Abby? And then obviously I'm jumping ahead massively, but when you finish the game, you realize like Owen is like easily one of the most likable people in that game as well.
Apart from being a cheater. But... like I said, I was lucky enough to not have it spoiled. I'd seen like the odd comment like Joel dies, but that was like, to me, like, I don't know if that person knows, like, everyone. And to be fair, I'd kind of thought Joel is dying in this game at some point anyway,
so
I didn't expect it that early.
I thought it was gonna be like, just based on nothing, I was like, that's gonna be halfway through. Like, to me, it felt like a moment that would come as a punctuation point to allow Ellie to go on whatever this was. I didn't realise it was like the inciting incident. But like with the taking control of Abby, I've played this like a fucking binge, I find it difficult to like separate when things happen. But that early section, you do very quickly get a sense that they're there for Joel and Tommy.
Well, they they're there for something. You don't know
and like,
they're there
but
for,
it seems. I mean, that seems fairly clear at that point. And I do love the feeling of like that setup and like that horrible dissonance of like, you know, I'm playing a game, I like playing as this character, you know, I'm playing a new character, that's interesting, that's a thing that games do to interest you, but the fact that, you know, you're working towards a goal that at that point in the game you absolutely don't want to happen is really cool. Like, just
like, you have basically unknowingly at that point killed Joel by getting her to safety, and you don't actually, you know, swing the golf club yourself, because that would have been horrific to do. But
I'm honestly surprised they didn't.
You might as well have.
Like, considering some of the other moments later in the game, I'm very surprised that they didn't make you do that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've tried a few of those moments of not pressing the button and just holding on, and it just, you don't have a choice, basically. You have to do this thing if you want to progress.
I apologise, there's a fire like near my house.
I just felt like that would have been one step too far, making you kill. I don't know, that would have been...
A step too far?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that would have been.
I think
at that
point
a bit.
That scene was.
There's a lot I didn't
want
to do in that game.
Yeah,
but yeah, I feel like the way they did it was the way it should have been done. When you're creeping into that house as Ellie, not knowing she doesn't know what is happening.
Yeah,
and just having to watch it basically through her eyes is a horrible thing.
Do you know what's mad? It's like the first time. I'm sure you guys did the same. The first time that scene, I approached that house and the interior of that house so slowly, creeped around every corner.
Yeah, listening.
And there's then the second time I played it, I just booted it straight down the stairs. I was like, I know exactly what I'm doing. Just head straight down there.
But did we... Like, I think we were all in the same boat. Like, to me, Joel did not get a disservice in this game. Especially seeing... Like, we're not there yet, but all the flashbacks, there is a lot of Joel in this game, despite him not being there.
This game is about Ellie and Joel's effect on Ellie. It's not about Joel. And so I don't think he's done a disservice but he's certainly not meant to be the focal point. Like, no. The idea is we're dealing with the aftermath of what he's done to her.
Yeah. And he literally doesn't even grow as well, because there's a point near the end of the game where he says, I would make that same decision again today. It's like, he hasn't changed.
It's the legacy of Joel, not the story of Joel, this game. Yeah. And I think that I think it's dealt with really well. Like, I'm sure we'll get onto it with talking about the actual flashbacks, the proper that you play through, but I think the function of those flashbacks is so perfect. Like, this feeling of constantly reminding you and Ellie of what has happened to her, and the meaning of those things to her is so cool.
It reminds you of all the good that Joel had, that he was caring, but it also reminds of all the bad stuff that Ellie takes from him, which is basically selfishness.
Yeah.
Like, because at the end, we'll get there again, but at the end of the game, she basically makes the same decision that Joel made at the end of the first, which is, I'm going to make a very selfish decision here and not care about Dina, basically.
I mean, it's not quite at the same level of fucking up everything in the world, but beyond that.
Nah, but it's a very selfish act.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then, after Joel dies, you set out as Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
And I had mixed opinions on the first big area you come to is downtown Seattle. I liked that it was an open area. I was surprised that that's basically the only one in the whole game.
So I thought setting up for the rest of the game.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I thought Hillcrest was perhaps larger than most places, but in general, I thought there was going to be several of those sort of situations.
It's the only place without. Like, it's literally the only point in the game without point of no returns, like, built into the design of those areas. Like, they're essentially funnel, they're, to a certain extent, they're Doom levels that you're playing through, where it's like corridor, open area, corridor, open area. This is the only area where you're like, go where you want,
work out
the thing, leave, and rinse it if you want to.
There's a lot of missable stuff as well.
Yeah, like, I really, really liked this little experiment with an open area. I liked it a lot more than the version of it in Uncharted as well. Like, I never had a huge problem with Uncharted 4's versions of those things. Like, a lot of people don't like the Madagascar stuff, but I think that's more about getting in and out of that car and getting around it. I thought, like, whatever you'd call that area, Greater Seattle or, Seattle City, downtown or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed the process of just having a swathe of that world to look around, because we've never got that properly before. And aside from anything else, it just gives you a sense of what these QZs turned into and what we're looking at.
Yeah.
And fuck me, it's gorgeous. Like, just so many places to stop and use photo mode and
I do think there's maybe a couple of opportunities where they could have done that again, though. It feels odd to just have that set up once.
I assumed we'd have it once with Abby as well. But,
I thought maybe like the first half of the island that you visit, it could have been something like that, maybe.
I feel like at that point, though, there's so much at stake, and it's almost against the clock.
You'd be
forced to spend an hour.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're forced into the narrative, aren't you?
It's the only, apart from right at the beginning and a couple of flashbacks, it's the calmest part of the game, really.
Yeah.
And unless you go in a building, you're not going to, I was fully expecting in that open area, just there'll be random little hordes of enemies just dotted around, but there wasn't, which I was quite pleased with, because I don't like games where I feel constantly under threat. Sometimes I like to have a bit of downtime.
I like that you're entering areas that are clearly dangerous, like when you walk up to the courthouse and hear all the infected inside. That's a really neat moment. I also think I don't know whether this is gonna be the case or not. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the area of the game where we get the most character development, or like incidental character development, for Dina and Ellie. Like, they talk so much during that section, and I think it's easy to paint this as like, oh, by the way, this is your open area for the game, when actually it's probably doing more than a lot of places to cement the idea of that relationship and make it feel real.
I think the biggest example of that is when you go in the music shop and Ellie plays the cover of Take On Me, which I think everyone has seen by now. And I'm actually surprised that everyone I've talked to who's played it got that moment. Like, I thought, when I found it, I was like, oh, this could be quite easily missed.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not in an obvious build.
Do you know what else is obviously missed in that room? Just for anyone who's watched our Last of Us series, there is one copy of the album by The Bash, who are who were fucking everywhere in the first game, and there's only one instance of the Bash in the entire of the
Last
of Us.
I love them so much.
It's a record hidden behind another record. That's how hidden it is. It's like it was meant just for me.
I thought I found everywhere in downtown, but I didn't pop the trophy for discover every location there. Looked around that place a lot.
So you're probably missing, there was a couple that they're barely buildings. They're just sort of...
Did you do the one that's like building? Literally a set of stairs?
Yes, there's barely anything, but they count
it's,
as well.
It's, I don't know. It's kind of shit. Like, it's a set of stairs that you jump up because they're a bit broken and there's a box at the top. And when you do it, she's crosses it out. And you're like, what? Is this a place?
There's a couple like that. You just have to sort of look at the map and see where the squares are and sort of head in that vicinity. Mm-hmm. Some of them aren't objects anymore, really.
Yeah.
Just
okay. We also should cover the fact that just before this area, we get the first use of cables and ropes, which has set the internet on fire because
I love those ropes.
They're amazing. Story related, so no spoilers here if you've tuned into this bit by accident.
It's the opposite reaction that people had to ladders and rafts in the first
game. We don't need to talk about it much later on, but like when Abby gets ladders and boards later on, I genuinely was really happy because I was like, oh, this is a funny little reference, and I know that they're not going to use it very much, and I liked that tiny little bit of it.
My favourite bit about the rope stuff is they're all puzzles as well, but they're not like traditional puzzles. It's not put a piece here. It's like you've got to fit with physics, solve these puzzles.
I actually super underrated for platforming this game. Like there's some bits of it that were really fun to work out. Getting over the gate to get to Seattle downtown, like jumping around across stuff there, I found really satisfying. Like, it's nothing major, but just enough for you to be like, oh, this actually feels cool to do.
And you know that first rope section where, you know, it's a power cable and you've got two connections, you can actually throw it over the building that you've got as well, and then there's collectibles on top of that building as well.
Oh, fuck.
And that took me a lot of experimenting, knowing I was missing collectibles in that area, to find those ones.
That's cool.
So there's more variety. Then also downtown Seattle, there's the fire truck hose. Did you use that as well?
I don't think I did.
Yes, so I did. Yeah.
There's a fire truck hanging over the end of an old motorway bypass thing, and you can get that and you can swing down to another level by using the hose from that as well. And that's something you would never need to do. You never need to bother going down there, but it's cool that it's there.
Very good.
Let's skip on a little bit because the next section with the hotel and the TV station is good little sections of combat. Nothing overly story wise there. It's just moving on. The next big bit is probably One of my very favourite bits of the game is the Wyoming Museum flashback with Ellie and Joel. And I think a lot of people have highlighted this just because it's the bit that feels most like
giraffes.
The first game.
Yes.
Yeah, and most like Left Behind. And when you're just putting that hat on the dinosaurs, it's just very sweet.
Yeah.
Did you put the hat on Joel as a...
Do you know what? Yeah. I didn't. I missed that trophy.
I did.
And I'm furious.
I love the moment where Joel does it too. Well, it's such a nice touch. That's really good.
So much Jurassic Park chat in that section as well. And a lot of it, my first time around, that I missed as well. I went back to it a second time and there was loads of extra dialogue that I missed. It's a really clever scene.
I would love to go back to that scene knowing that there's no threats or anything, because I was still kind of half on my toes, like, to be infected in here.
I really like...
I'm always doing listen mode in this game, like, constantly.
I really like the bit where she's stuck and you get the mini story of the person who was in there. And you're just, like, constantly expecting it to be a horrible fight, and then it's just a fucking pig. And, like, it's just it's such a nice little... sort of 1-2 punch of tension. I think they play with you so much in those, particularly in those flashbacks where you're not sure if it's going to turn into an action scene or not.
I read that there was initially going to be a scene with the boar, and there's originally meant to be a deer that was in the museum that was caught in there, but there was a whole scene they shot with Ellie, like Joel teaching Ellie how to hunt boar, and they'd shot it all and everything and written it, and they had this amazing boar asset, so they just put it there instead because they cut it from the game. The best bit of that whole section, I think, is the bit where you blast off into space.
Yeah.
And because that's what I was talking about cryptically beforehand. It's like they kind of take... not throwaway sections, but conversations you might forget from the first game where Ali's like, oh, I would have been an astronaut. Like... in the real world, and then they fully realize them in this one.
Yeah, there's also in downtown Seattle there was this like brief bits of dialogue that you can trigger as well, where Dina starts talking to her. Oh yeah, you've got a space thing, haven't you?
Yeah.
And then there's subtle like hints of it. You know, she has a little spaceman model in her house as well at the start of the game, and it's a very like subtle little thing about how Ellie is obsessed with space.
Well,
so much.
Did you notice in Joel's bedroom in his house in Jackson, he has like a Space for Dummies book, which is a really cute little touch as well.
He also has the Wyoming Museum pamphlet as well.
Oh, does he? That's so nice.
And if you pick it up, she says, "Oh, that was a great day out," before you've actually experienced
the scene
as well. That's
The one element, I don't know whether I'm reading into this too much, but the moment where you get her listening to the tape and it actually, the screen sort of actually reacting as if she's taking off and flying in space and stuff, like, I kind of wonder in retrospect whether that's a slight hint to like the PTSD stuff later, where she kind of, her imagination is powerful enough to make her actually feel those things as if they're happening. Like this element of like she can't escape her own imagination in some regard.
She had a similar thing in Left Behind in the arcade machine. I don't know if it's just a vivid imagination.
I mean, obviously, it's a lovely touch, whatever it is, but I'm now looking at it as like, is this a horrible precursor to her own inability to escape from her imagination?
What a lovely thought.
Yeah. That first shot of the fucking dinosaur in the trees is so good. It's wonderful.
Yeah, like, in that sense, it's just, like, this whole game is just incredibly performed, but they're just still so believable. Like the way, like, I think in terms of performance, I do think Laura Bailey as Abby is maybe my favorite performance, but I think Ashley Johnson as Ellie is pretty much up there. Just the fact that she has to, the range she has to do for this game, from pretending to still be young at Ellie and being happy and laughing at dinosaurs to the other end of the scale where she's just in the darkest place you could possibly
I think Abby's amazing, but like I think Ashley Johnson is just a cut above. Like there's so little precedent for this. Like even in fucking movies, there aren't many people who get across like a multiple range of ages. And I know it's easier because she's behind a mic, but to an extent. But I just think some of that performance across the game is just fucking unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do think up until this point in the game, it feels like The Last of Us. It kind of, you're getting those new bits of combat and the new systems and new gameplay are dribbling in, but it's not until the next section in Hillcrest that it really starts all coming together. I know that, Joe, you are a massive fan.
Best fight in the game for me. Yeah, like, exactly. I think there's so much good fighting, but the way that this plays with, they talked about verticality before the game came out, but the way this plays with people in houses, people coming around behind you, multiple routes of access, and the way you can play with that as well. Like, I was setting up traps and, like, trying to get people and funneling them around and becoming a predator in that area. It's just, like, it's just fucking wonderful. Like that.
And it's also,
sorry, Karen.
Go on, Joe. I was going to say, it's where the dogs are introduced as well around that section. And that sort of really like changes the dynamic of, you can't just pick these guys off without their dogs being alerted to it. Or if you pick the dog off, you know, they'll react badly to their dogs as well. And I think it sort of introduces a way more, like the AI interact with each of us so much that it makes the experience way more intense.
Yeah.
And just stealthing your way through it.
I loved the story of Boris in letters around that place, and how you kind of, how if you've read all those letters and you've actually kind of taken it in, that there's a real payoff to his stalker attacking you with the bow on him. Did you, presumably you both opened the garage full of of runners?
The garage that has a safe in it.
Yeah, right? And like, yes, the idea
so
of that.
You did. Go on.
And so the idea of that being that it was the people in the town who didn't speak up and didn't rebel when his daughter was killed, and he poisoned them and put them in there infected.
Yeah.
And like, I've got I felt terrible because at the time I opened it and got like 5 perfect headshots as they ran out. So I clipped it out and was like, this is a cool shot of me being really good at the game. And then afterwards I was like, oh my God, those were people. I didn't really think about how horrible this was.
It's grim.
I just, that whole section I just think is fantastic.
Yeah, up until, yeah, the bit where you meet Jesse, and I know a lot of people, that mainly people I don't agree with on the internet, claiming that this is Naughty Dog lying to people and mismarketing by saying that it's Joel doing the grab, whereas no, I just think that's
I like that.
And not spoiling and not spoiling something for yourself. But yeah, I like Jesse as a character. He didn't have tons to do, but he was just a solid friend.
He's very likable, and I like the little they just enough like tension about Dina to make him interesting. Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, that could have been a really like cheap and easy way of, oh, okay, I'm jealous of you because you've stole my girlfriend, something. But they didn't take that route at all. They still like maintained their friendship just with, like you said, just with this little hint of tension of, well, hang on, you're going out with somebody that I used to go out with.
Yeah. Which,
but and she's now pregnant.
Yeah.
And yeah, I also love in that section the way they, and they do this a lot in the game, like they're like, there's a sniper. And it's obviously Tommy.
Yeah.
But like the way like characters just intertwine without seeing each other the whole way through this game. Like obviously the main one is Ellie and Abby, like kind of in each other's shadows, but not knowing they are whole game, really. Especially Abby, like not knowing Ellie is basically there until
day three.
Late Seattle.
Yeah. Is it day three? Like so that was kind of what I was referring to earlier. I think that's one of my favourite touches about the game, is you spend the whole Ellie section convinced that you're just behind her, you're just on her tail, and she's just getting away constantly. And like we passed over the TV station and stuff, but this feeling of like constantly being unable to get the information that you need is so heartbreaking for her. And then fucking Abby not knowing she was there and thinking it's just Tommy, like is fucking amazing. Like it's such a great way of pointing out how fucking weird and futile this whole deal is for her.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how much ammo Tommy has, by the way, and how good of a shot he is?
Unbelievable. That section is actually one of my least favourite bits of the game. But we'll get to that
later. He's incredible. It's like, he's just got endless ammo for this rifle.
Incredible.
Yeah. I did enjoy that sniper section, though. Not that you ever really properly revisit that, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the end of the Hillcrest section I loved, where you're in the car, and especially the bit where the infected just turn up. And the one that comes through the window is the most horribly realistic like zombie infected thing I've ever seen, and it was horrible.
Yeah, that seems great.
I like that they'll occasionally indulge in full action game, like don't worry about ammo, just shoot some stuff for a while, like just little payoffs of this is the scene in which you get to really go off. It's good.
The next little bit I want to talk about is the other flashback with Joel, the one where you're, it starts with the hunting rifle section with Tommy, and it's where you go to find the guitar strings.
Yeah.
I like that bit because, again, it felt a lot like the first game, but it was more the end of it. I loved with the bloater fight because it's the first time we see a bloater again. Yeah. And now, that first moment, you're like, I know how to beat these guys. And the first time it just runs through the wall, you're like, oh, they can do that now.
I really enjoyed that bloaters are a different thing in this game. Because, again, bloaters were one of my least favourite things about the first game. And I like in this one, they are reserved for, fuck, like, you know, like really just tense. Yeah. Do I run away? Do I try and fight over the course of time?
They're only there.
Two or three times, yeah.
Yeah, not much.
You get, obviously, we'll talk about the big boss sort of thing later, but it's kind of an evolution of that.
Can we, just one second.
They're only really in the Descent as well, that's about it, I think.
Yeah, there's one in the Descent.
There's one in the arcade section.
Yes, you're right.
When you said the sniper section that you liked, do you mean this one where you are sniping or the one where you are being sniped?
Oh no, the one where you are sniping.
Yeah.
I like both of those.
So
to be
I really didn't like being sniped, but I did like sniping.
Okay.
But yeah. I mean that sounds obvious, but I mean from a gameplay perspective.
In general, love sniping.
I thought it was interesting that it almost felt like a tutorial to how to use a sniper rifle, yet you never actually use that weapon again in the game.
I never put the scope on the rifle.
Yeah, same.
I put the scope on the crossbow later on. But I never put it on the rifle.
I mean, but it's not the same. It's not like the same sort of range.
Yeah, it's a six times.
Felt like at some point I was going to be using a weapon with that sort of range. But in the end, it wasn't actually a tutorial for that weapon. It was just a nice sort of bonding moment, really, with Tommy.
The bloater fight was also the first time I got a shot of combat that looked like a trailer. Like, I had this bit where I was having a proper fight with one of the runners that comes in during that. And fell into like a dark corner with him and ended up pinning him up against the wall with the flashlight like illuminating him and nothing else. So it's just this like stark image of him screaming as I'm stabbing him in the neck. I was I can't believe it looks like this. I can't believe it actually works like this. When you, I know people have talked about slight downgrade from the E3 gameplay demo or whatever, but like there are so many moments where it ends up looking exactly like that that I genuinely didn't expect it to do it.
Yeah, and I know you had one little glitchy section with your phantom hand.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That people may have seen on Twitter, but yeah, for me, I didn't have any crashes. Any like the fact that for me that ran flawlessly as well. I mean, it makes also, I know it's well documented, makes your PS4 very loud.
Yeah, yeah.
I played with headphones.
It makes it less loud than Warzone does, and Warzone is a significantly less sexy looking game, even though it is a nice looking game. Also, where are the loading times? Like you have a big load at the start of the game, but I really didn't feel like there was much a lot was done behind the scenes.
If you're doing chapter selects, you really, really
I can see that
at times. Yeah. But when you're playing the game, you're right. A lot of them are hidden in cutscenes.
Well, actually, and to mention the Phantom Hand thing. So basically, if you haven't seen it, I've documented it on Twitter. Basically, my Ellie for a section of the game wanted constantly her hand to be in this one cupboard. And that continued for like 45 minutes of gameplay. which the implication being that that location exists somewhere in the game for 45 minutes at least, like all the way up to meeting the Seraphites for the first time, which is insane. God. Like, it's so far.
Somehow a glitch has proven to you how technically impressive the game is.
Yeah, but I think that's it. I think I don't know enough about games development to understand perfectly how this works, but it feels like what they're doing is loading in essentially most of the game behind the scenes.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Next up, we've got the aquarium as Ellie. Mm. The road there wasn't actually... I thought... Because at that point, I'm not going to lie, I was a bit like, I want more story. Like, I've just had Hillcrest, which was amazing combat, but I want more story. Mm. And I thought it was going to be another long trudge to the aquarium. So I'm very glad that partway through, they just gave me a motorboat so I could steam along. That bit, I did enjoy. I thought the bits where you had to stop and do the gate were... one of the only times in the game I was like, this feels like a game. Like that having to stop, work out a little mini puzzle to do a gate. But I didn't mind those bits. I didn't realize I spent ages, you know, there's that one building with lots of Seraphites in,
but they're having a little
battle. That you can fight. I didn't realize you could just drive straight through.
You can,
and
I had no idea. I spent ages climbing up that train that was derailed and like shooting them with arrows from up there.
There's a cool rope puzzle up there again.
Yes, well,
But that bit was cool because that's one of the first times you really see one of their big murals of the Prophet. You see one earlier on, and it's just this mysterious figure that you never really. Obviously, she's dead in this timeline, so you never really find out. There's lots of notes, but it's still a mysterious thing of what. I'm still not 100% sure what they believe in or what their real aim is, but they're just like the whistling creep me out so much.
I love that. That's
they almost have like Amish philosophies, but then they bend the rules when it suits them for like weaponry and things like
It feels to me like they I like this feeling that you're kind of like the world itself. You're witnessing the declined version of something that was much better before. Like at some point these were a lovely, peaceful, some, you know, obviously religiously zealous, but maybe not with a god. Like, you kind of get you very rarely get the sense that they're praying to God, they're praying to her.
No,
and like this sort of when you get to Martha's Gate and all that kind of stuff, and you see that truck full of votive stuff,
delicious.
And that feeling of you're witnessing the problems that happened afterwards again in a whole different context is really effective, I think. I never really felt the need to know more about them, just that they had gone wrong.
I like the mystery, and like that sort of like culty stuff always freaks me out. Like in horror stuff, that's the stuff I don't like, and especially later on when you're on the island and it's just full of those odd like wooden buildings, like that it's just like so I don't know, like they've deliberately decided to basically start life again and go back to the Dark Ages. Like
it reminded me a little bit of like in Handmaid's Tale as well, where it's like they have the ability to be more forward than this, but they purposely want to take a step back because it's you know where their true beliefs lie. And also I think there's several times in the game that show you that inherently they aren't necessarily like looking for war or violence. They're just sort of defending themselves. Obviously, they've, you know, the way they treat people is not ideal.
No.
But they clearly show, like, Yara and Lev as characters, like, show, you know, they are, like, they ask, no. What does Isaac want? Like, they don't understand why he's attacking them.
Yeah, no. I mean, well. This...
But that's the thing I had... Yeah,
this whole...
I think the Seraphites were... I thought that if there is a villain in the game, they were it to me.
Oh, really?
Whereas I thought the WLF, as individuals and people on the whole, weren't bad. I think Isaac had bad motives as their leader. But I think those people are all as normal as you can get people trying to survive.
I think possibly the problem there is that the Seraphites were very rarely shown anyone outside of Lev and Yara who lives in that society that isn't a killable enemy. But to me, like, the Seraphite WLF thing is just another expression of, like, revenge is a zero-sum game as a theme. Like, this feeling of, like, the Seraphites appear to have radicalized based on the murder of their prophet. And we don't know the exact circumstances around it. But even then, you're like, well, yeah, you would be angry if someone killed your god.
Yeah.
Like, and Isaac's done that, and the implication is Isaac did it as a tactic rather than by accident.
Yeah.
So there's feeling like we've not seen the worst of the WLF, and we have seen the reaction that is the worst of the Seraphites. I mean, the scarring is obviously fairly scary and creepy, but I don't think we're meant to have a good and bad side feeling in that.
Yeah, I may be wrong, but also I'm pretty sure in the game, like, it's always the WF moving on the Seraphites and not the other way around. They're almost in the position of defending.
Well, we don't really know how the Seraphites have ended up in the bits of Seattle that they have. We don't know whether they've gone and they've got the bridges and stuff, so...
They are kind of hunting, because there is the bit where they obviously capture you and string you up.
That's true, that is true. Yeah.
That first bit where you meet them in the park outside the... is it not the hospital, the TV station?
No, it's later on. It's in the park, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in
park,
the park.
Until day two, you meet them.
And you get the fucking arrow. Oh, man.
Yeah, the first time I met them, I just crawled through. I didn't even kill anyone. I just got through that park, crawled through.
Oh, really?
I don't want to fight you.
I battered them.
Yeah, same.
Set them on fire.
I played a lot more of that game than I thought I would, just getting through sections, not necessarily killing everyone. But there you go. But anyway, we were talking about the aquarium, which is the first point in the game, despite at this point still thinking Owen is basically a big shithouse. It's the first time in the game where I was like, oh, Ellie's doing things here that she should not be doing.
More than fucking torturing Nora.
At that point, I personally was still in the mindset of we need this information to find Abby. I was still
some
in the mindset
zero
of,
dark 30 shit from you, man.
Yeah, what? She was dying anyway, but you still batter her with a pipe.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's necessary.
That's the first bit where I purposely didn't press a button to hope that I didn't have to do it.
Yeah. At that, like I said, at that point, I was still firmly on the we need to get revenge. But yeah, it was the aquarium where I was like a. Especially once you find out Mel's pregnant. And I think that's the point as well, where Ellie first... You can see it in her face, just like, what am I doing?
Well, that's like, that's the thing. Like, she doesn't know she's pregnant, obviously. She's doing what she believes right. And then when that information comes over, then it makes her question herself ever so slightly.
That shot of her, like, going to her knees, clutching her stomach is fucking haunting. Like, that... Because you know that feeling of just, like, fucking gut punch unpleasantness. Yeah. Like, oh, man.
And before that, you obviously kill the dog, which at this point you have no emotional connection to. One of, so you're like, it's another dog, get rid of it.
One of the cruelest things they do in the entire game is killing that dog just before they show you the dog and how nice she is.
Straight after, I think this is my favourite stretch of the game, from entering the aquarium to that scene, and then you get the next scene in the theatre where, basically, at that point, Tommy and Jesse have all but convinced Ellie that it's over, let's go home. And she pretty much agrees, like, yeah, let's go home. But then Abby, of course, interrupts, shoots Jesse in the face.
Oh, I hated
Tommy
that.
Survives. He survives a lot in this
game.
Yeah,
he really does.
I mean, if you watch it back, he gets shot in the shoulder. He can, well, isn't it? Yeah. Grazes his face as well, because he's got scars.
There's at least three different... So there's the bit at the start with Joel. There's that scene. There's the one later on where you fight. Like, he escapes a lot of situations without getting killed. Yeah, I'm very surprised that I know they kind of needed him to survive for what happens near the end, yeah. but like, if I'm Abby, I'm killing him just because he has killed a lot of my friends yeah. up until that point. Like, it's similar to Ellie, well, what he's doing.
The way Abby sees it is she gave him a chance to yeah. to live, and then he's just come back and caused all this chaos.
That line of you wasted it is yeah. so good.
Oh, it's so
the
good.
Snarl just she cuts has.
Because at that point, you're not expecting a cut to black. You're like, at that point, I was like, what are you cutting to now? Because well, this yeah. is the story.
So
like,
this is the point at which I suddenly started going, okay, this story has not felt like it's anything to do. Because obviously there's the bit going into this game where you're like, is this going to be a game about Ellie being able to somehow sacrifice herself to save the world for a cure or something? That's in my head. And this is the point at which I was like, okay, I've seen no evidence to this. I think Ellie could absolutely die here. And then we're playing as someone else, maybe Tommy. And then, yeah, the cut to black and then the restart is just fucking amazing.
Yeah, you're like, because I've, when you first play as Abby, I was like, okay, is this, I felt like this was the point where we're going to find out why she killed Joel. I had an inkling as to why. It wasn't exactly the reasons they give. I thought it was more just she was a Firefly and she didn't, maybe she was Marlene's friend. I didn't think that it was going to be as bad as it was her dad who was the surgeon, which, when you think about it, is so clever, because no matter how you finish The Last of Us, you have to kill that surgeon.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the big things. It's like, why did we have to kill him? Like the other two can survive, but that one always has to die. And I know that when they originally made the first, they probably didn't have that in mind. Mm. But the way they've managed to retrofit that in, I think, is just genius. And the way they make also Abby's dad just the nicest man in the world.
On the same day, he saves a zebra so it can look after its baby. It's like, that was kind, to be honest, it's a bit laying it on thick. Like, that was like, we get it, he's the nicest man who ever lived.
Even supporting Owen going after his daughter, pursuing his daughter. Completely supportive.
I have to say, I didn't necessarily need it to be him to be as obviously like paragon of all things good in humanity that have left.
But like, it just proves that basically him and Marlene were the nice ones, and it was all. It's very, very harsh to say this is all Marlene's fault, because it's basically Joel's fault. But the way Marlene is very honourable and is like, I've got to go and tell Joel that she will die. Like, if she had never told him that, then probably would have been fine. Yeah. But obviously you can't blame her. Because Joel was in that. Even though at the end he, because the last thing he ever said to Ellie is basically, if I had the chance to do it all again, I would do it again.
Yeah.
Like, whether you think it's the right decision or not, I know everyone has their opinion of what they would have done in that moment. I still don't know what I would have done.
It's easy for him to say that when you've got, you know, a living, breathing, you know, 4 years later, human being standing in front of you. Obviously, you'd want to hold on to that. But yeah, it wasn't the right decision, and we know it's not the right decision as well. So it just goes to show his true motivations has always been selfishness, right? Mm-hmm. He's always trying to hold on to that thing, and he doesn't want to lose it no matter what. Mm.
But I think they also, in that conversation with the surgeon, they throw in the interesting bit of like, Abby says, if it was me, I'd want you to do it, but he doesn't really properly
reply. He never specifically says he wouldn't
I don't think he'd kill her.
He's
I don't know, it would take a very, very cold parent to say yes, let's
he's
do this.
It's a very clear point that he is detaching himself from the situation and is upset about it, like, you know, it's he's dual thinking. Like, he knows he has to do it, but he doesn't want to, but he will.
Yeah. But then after that, you get Seattle, and then it takes that second and you're like, what? Why have you just put Seattle there? And then day one appears again.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was still like, oh, okay, are we going to get another little flashback?
Oh,
like,
really?
As to what? I didn't think we were then, right, we're now playing as Abby.
Nah, as like, soon as day one came up, I was that's this.
That telegraphed it for me, I knew straight away. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be much more condensed. I thought it was going to be a few moments, a few flashbacks, a few scenes, and then we're back to the theatre. I wasn't expecting an almost 8-hour gap before we revisit that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably where, if I have And I think we all kind of agree on this. If I have minor criticisms of the game, it would be that there's bits of Abby's sections that could
totally
be cut
agree.
Out. If
I agree.
Yeah, like even the bits we have skipped in Ellie's section feel necessary in some way to a story, whereas there are bits of Abby's where I'm like, I don't know why this stretch is in here necessarily.
Yeah. Like day one goes on a bit too long for me. For example, I feel there's great stuff. I love the stadium where you basically meet all of her friends who seem very nice people.
Well, also that the stadium is...
that you've all killed.
Stadium is another really cool look at like how you retrofit a new future into the old past of like architecture and stuff. Like, I just loved looking around that place and...
Yep.
In the same way as Jackson, like this feeling of like, fucking hell, this is like just cool thinking around what people could do with the remnants of.
Yeah. And that's where you meet Alice the dog and.
And Bear.
What's the name of the other dog?
And Bear. As Dale pointed out to me, you kill Bear. Well, you can kill Bear in the course of the game.
You can kill Bear in the hospital area, yeah.
I hate that so much. I wish you had told me.
Did you see the kennels as well when you go to the forward base? You can see all the names of the dogs, and I was looking through to see if there was any other examples of times you've killed dogs. I doubled down on being evil to Alice, and I picked up a ball and lobbed it over the fence as well.
You're a dick.
So I thought, I've got to be mean to this dog.
First time. Just to see what would happen.
Yeah,
exactly. And yeah, exactly that happened.
I absolutely did not do that terrible. Because I'm not an arsehole.
I threw it like three times beforehand. We had our fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, day one, I think the stadium's great. I feel like... the first bit where you get the ambush is brilliant. Yep. Just that set piece of all the people and horses is...
God, I missed a lot of shots during that.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, it's crueler, but much easier to shoot the horses than the people.
Try not to.
There's the little section before you get to the base and you meet Isaac for the first time, who is bizarrely played by Jeffrey Wright, who they managed to get in. I don't know if that was... because obviously Shannon Woodward from Westworld
and
plays Dina.
The narrative lead, Hayley Grossman, wrote Westworld as well.
Yeah. Westworld as well. I don't know. Yeah, obviously there's some favours being brought in there. But he had a surprisingly small role, but I think it was just the right size
role. I had to text someone because I was just like, I know this voice, but I can't work out why I know this voice.
It's because he doesn't look...
No, he doesn't look Jeffrey Wright.
Enough like him.
No.
But he does definitely sound like him because it's him.
What?
but yeah, also... So yeah, after the base, you get the first flashback to the aquarium, which I love... you see the aquarium in so many different lights. Like when you're playing as Abby, it's always basically a nice place to be with like lights up and it's fun. You're either playing with like a plastic bow and arrow, but the one time you visit as Ellie, it's just stormy and dark and horrible. Yeah. And it just kind of really just encapsulates everything about
that room
that place.
When it's Christmas is beautiful. And I'm like, I'd love to be there. That looks great.
Yeah.
Just like such a beautiful view.
But then obviously it's Abby's road to the aquarium, which is on her day one.
Yeah.
And you get... this is where I would have had a bit cut out. Like, I think it's good up until the point... I enjoy all the stuff where you're fighting Scars for a bit. You get captured in the forest, and that's the scene we saw a few years ago.
Yeah, it's horrible.
That is still quite hard to watch when they're hammering Yara's arms, which is...
clip her wings.
Do they say, like, clip her wings? Yeah. And you meet Lev and Yara, who I think... like everyone agrees, Lev is a fantastic character.
Mm-hmm.
I just love how he has a positive outlook on everything, despite everything he's gone through.
I was it maybe makes me look a little bit stupid, but after speaking to Caddy about the game, the first time it completely passed me by that it was a trans character as well.
What, for the entire game?
I there was a couple of bits where I questioned it, but I didn't pick up on it. And then when I was speaking to Caddy and he mentioned about Lily... and I was like, oh my God, yeah. And then it all sort of came together in my head at that. But
they don't ever
maybe I've got
no,
a pure
no,
heart,
do they? They go, they talk about, basically Lev's name was Lily and that he never wanted to be a wife, wanted to be a soldier and they shaved off his hair, which is why they basically banished him, which is basically, they never outright say it, which is, but it's done, I think it's done in a subtle enough way and it actually serves story purposes by no means. Here's a token character.
There's a very good write-up about Lev on VG247 about like the presentation of that character and how it there are imperfect elements, like dead naming is a major thing. But like it's a if you want to learn more about like an actual sort of like informed perspective on that issue, it's a really good read. I do really like that Lev's referred to as he or him for the rest of the game by like everyone. Yeah. It's just it's a good touch.
Yeah, it's because basically, if you're like-minded as us and Abby's just like, cool, I don't really need to know. Yeah. Let's just carry on.
Yeah.
Like, which is just a cool way of doing it. But yeah, I love when you meet them. That bit in the forest when the stalkers are just running at you.
I think stalkers are my favourite infected in the game. Like,
they are. I hate
the section earlier with Ellie. I can't see, you're like in an office building and it's the first time you're properly introduced to stalkers. Was a genuinely fun fight. Like, I think my problem with infected is often it's like, avoid them or they run at you. And there's something really neat about stalkers being the ones that like act like humans and try and get around you and try and work you out.
Yeah.
And there's also really funny bits where they don't want to look at you. So I had one bit where they were hiding behind a box and I was poking out on one side and they'd be like, and go back round the other side of the box. It was just like playing tag.
They are almost slightly comedic, but at the same time, horrifying, because like I said before, I rely on listen mode so much in this game, and when you just can't pick them up.
Have you read the thread from the sound designer who did all the voice acting stuff for the infected? It's really good.
Is that one where he started talking about the clickers in general?
He talks through each type, and the stalkers are meant to sound pubescent. They're meant to sound like their voices are breaking or like something's going wrong with their voices to show you that they are halfway between runner and clicker, which is just like a fucking amazing little touch that I love being told about. Mm-hmm. Did spoil me on the Rat King, unfortunately. Well, it just mentioned there was that infected, so I knew there was going to be a boss infected at some point.
Just to pull it back just a second, with my one issue with starting the game as Abby and carrying on there is, from a gameplay perspective, it did feel like a massive sort of step back and a pause. Like, we'd got to this high, I'd gone through all the tutorial stuff, I got all my weapons, and then it was like straight back to zero again, and it's like the pace completely dropped. And from a story perspective, I really enjoyed it, but from a gameplay perspective, I felt like
I know what you mean, I like, could have gone I didn't straight have all my into upgrades, this, I think.
Yeah.
But I think they balanced that by, because she's more military trained, she's strong, she plays much more like Joel, and she's stronger, and you have that assault rifle to begin with, so you do feel a bit more powerful.
But I agree, like, it did feel weird to me that she was like having to learn skills in the same way as Ellie. There was something strange about that. I like the return of Shivs, though. I love the Shiv mechanic.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. The one thing I missed from, because Ellie has her knife, so you can get out of any grapple, basically, apart from the old clicker one. But yeah, you need to. I kept reminding myself to build Shivs because I'd forgotten to do that for a good 10 hours. But yeah, I love that whole section in the forest and in the dark, and the bit afterwards in the rain where you're going through those buildings up until the point basically where you leave Levin Yara for the first time.
Yeah.
You just leave them in that building. At that point, I could happily have gone to the aquarium. I didn't need the boat section. Like, the bit where you're running, then you fall into the water in the boat section. I didn't need that bit necessary. Yeah. That was an encounter at that point. I was like, okay, let's just move on with the story now.
Yeah, that felt like an opportunity to have one of those mini, like, letter-told stories again, which I liked in getting the crossbow and stuff. But, yeah, I agree. Like, that was one of those sections where I was just like, this is just a hold-up for the sake of a hold-up.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep. Then you get onto day two, which is where I think they could have cut the most 100%. Out of. I liked it up until... I liked the bit where you go to the tall building. I loved that first fight you have at the top of that building, where it's all misty against the stars.
Yes.
That was maybe my favourite fight in the game, because the verticality on that was incredible. And you had Lev. I loved the way he was just going, oh, that one has a crossbow, and they'd be marked as well. He'd give you little hints. I loved the mood of that fight and the setting. It's the only one. I thought they'd do more of that up there with the scars, but there was only really one like that.
It's like three or four floors that spread across as well, right? Like, it's a really... Yeah.
It's very vertical.
That and the... parking lot fight that you have that was in the gameplay demo a while back. Like, I love those moments where it's like I'm having to work out how to get around in that way as well. That's cool.
And I love the crane walking scenes. The way they just seed the scared of heights thing in early. You know it's going to come back at some point, but it comes back big time there, because you would not catch me walking across that. But I love the mood that piece. And then the fall into the swimming pool, I kind of liked, and at that point I would have been happy with, let's get to the hospital.
I think the descent is one of the slowest.
I think everyone I've talked to agrees that it's the bit where they were like, why is this happening? Like,
just cut this.
The needing to get a gas mask, and the sheer number of floors you have to travel down just feels like, it just feels like so much of nothing. Like, so what? Yeah. No, so that's unfair. It's so much gameplay with so little story payoff when the game has conditioned you to understand that those two things will be hand in hand almost the entire time.
And it was like a scary bit that reminded me of, like, it was more one of the more horror sections. I don't know if they felt they just needed more infected combat sections because there wasn't that many.
I would have been happy.
I didn't personally.
I would have been happier for us to get to the hospital quicker, where it feels like there's stuff to learn, stuff to puzzle over, and just have more infected in that area. Like, to have those two moments back to back where they're like broad horror game moments felt odd pacing wise to me, and feels like something may have been taken out, but who am I to know?
Because that was the point where I was like, I'd done the descent, I was like, oh god, I got through that, cool. And then it was like, instantly they're like, right, go into the depths of the hospital where ground zero was, and I'm like,
more of this.
I don't need this right now. But the payoff is great because the Rat King, although when I played it, I don't know if they've patched it since or I was just playing it very dark, because it was almost pitch black for me when I did that battle. Like, I could hardly see
it. I had no problem with that. I've heard that from you and someone else who was playing the game very early.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just need to adjust my settings. But I did think, at first I was like, I don't need a boss fight in this game. Like, it feels like a weird little resi section in the middle of this game. But after it splits off and you get the two of them, I felt, all right, they're doing something different here. And I have to say,
I've talked to a lot of people who didn't like that moment. I think it's fucking brilliant. I love the Rat King. I think it's a hilariously cool design. I love what it implies for the world as well. Like, if they ever do make a Last of Us 3, the implication that the world will have gotten further down the line to the point where we might have Rat Kings all over the place because this is the inevitable decline of the Cordyceps stuff. It's like, it's fucking horrific. And I liked the fight. I liked the feeling of it. Because, like I said, I had it slightly spoiled that there was a boss infected. But when it had been spoiled, I genuinely had the thought to myself of, like, fuck, imagine if it's the end of Inside and it's just all the bodies stuck together. And it fucking was. Like, when it came through the ambulance, it was like, this is brilliant.
If you go...
Oh, shit, I've just spoiled the end of Inside. Sorry.
Oh, it's fine. If you go to the Unlockables in... after you finish the game, you can unlock the 3D models, which are so detailed to look at. You can zoom in so much on them. The Rat King one, just looking at how disgusting that is. There's just limbs coming out of everywhere. It's just, it's a treat.
It is so grim. I love it. And I loved the stalker fight. Like, the fact that he was a stalker clicker at the end is like a really neat little extra design to deal with. I thought that was great. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't have cut that bit. But one other section I maybe would have cut out, I think you alluded to earlier, Joe, was before you get to the island, the whole sniper section before you get to a boat. So I could have easily just grabbed a boat and gone to the island.
At least, you know, that bit, unlike the descent, is Tommy's involved, Manny's involved. Like, you have this sense of, like, there are moving parts in the story at the same time. I just didn't like being... The sniping felt very indistinct on when it would and wouldn't happen, and I died a lot without knowing really what I'd done wrong, especially as the fight comes to you and you're still being shot, and it can take off almost all your health in one go. I was just, come on, man, like, this is...
Yeah, especially when the infected get involved, and you have to fight them, and if you get sniped while you're fighting them, it feels a bit cheap.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but as soon as I left for the island, I was obviously very... invested on what was going on that island, but the whole time I was thinking, I know Ellie right now is murdering my friends, and I don't feel good about that. Because at this point of the game, as you get to the island, I had this thing in my head that this game is going to make me make a horrible choice between Ellie and Abby at the end, and I'm so glad they didn't and they told their own story. But at that point, I'm not going to lie, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I maybe would have gone with Abby because I thought she had the more honorable
intentions. Abby is, you know, they don't want you to make this choice, and there isn't a clear cut line. But I do think Abby of the two is the one working with more, like, virtuous anger. Like, Ellie's one is I don't know. Anyway, I think I found it easier to empathize with Abby.
They've got very similar. Like, they're basically just both avenging their fathers.
I think the descent to which Ellie takes her revenge marks her as a slightly more or a slightly less virtuous character. We did skip over the fact that Manny gets killed. Like, did you care particularly?
Yeah, I never felt a great... Like, Owen and Mel, I felt more attached to. Manny, I never really... I don't know if it's just because right at the start, I was still like, when he spat on Joel's body, I was like, oh, he's not a nice guy. But I don't know. And like, when you meet him at the stadium, he's kind of like trying to be like a jokey,
sexy man.
Kind of guy. And I was like, I don't really...
You get to meet his dad,
really,
though, as well.
Feel that attached to you.
Did you meet his dad as well?
I did.
Yeah. I don't know. I quite liked him. And I felt like him and Jesse sort of shared a similar sort of path, really. And it's just how easily they're executed and thrown away in this game as well. It's just like, it's shocking. It always, like, always a great shock moment.
A lot of them, I know that wasn't necessarily, that wasn't Ellie killing Manny, so it's not the same thing. But that's where I think I lent more with Abby, because Abby went all this way to Jackson, killed Joel, left everyone else. She was like, he's the only one I need to get. She could have killed everyone else in that room. She could have killed a lot of people in that town, but she didn't. Whereas Ellie has killed everyone in the way to Abby. Like, she is not letting any... Like, she's done the opposite, basically, which is, you're all part of this and I'm going to kill all of you, which isn't... If you're going to go about revenge, do it methodically. Don't just go on a rampage.
Yeah, do it proper.
How do you guys feel about the island? Because I did end up loving it, but there was one point where I was like, this is all going a bit bonkers, and... I'm not sure I needed a full-on war.
I liked it. Yeah. I think, like, it feels to me, again, if you want to go, like, thematically, this is revenge wrought large, and, like, this feeling of, like, people going mad with ideology that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I think it, like, it is horrifying being in the middle of that stuff, and with neither side clearly winning. Like, all we see is brutality. We don't really see one side or the other losing or winning. And, like, it just shows how futile and gross that war is. But at the same time, it was a really fun place to kill loads of people. There was some great design
fights. That
is the
bit of the game. That's the bit of the game that felt most like Metal Gear, I think. I know a lot of people have made the comparison that some of the combat in this game borrows from Metal Gear a bit. I feel this is the one that there was a lot of crawling through grass for me, a lot of just one by one taking out people, even though moments of, like, I was expecting the little exclamation mark over someone's head, as like, what
this
was that?
This was the point of the game where I, because you can feel it crescendoing, this is the point where I stopped caring about ammo and was just using everything I had. So I was just like walking through areas with a flamethrower and, like, you know, oh, like, playing it properly mean. The fight in the warehouse against a bunch of WLF soldiers just before Mara dies. Yara dies.
That was great.
Is it Yara or Mara? Yara.
It's just Yara. After Yara dies.
Oh, is it just after?
Isn't it?
Oh, of course it is. Yes.
She kills Isaac.
Like, that was a fucking amazing fight. Like, just a really fun two-level, like, mess about.
I went all out on that one. That was just full loud. Yeah. I had so much ammo, I was like, I'm just going to go
blast
Rambo
so
on this
good
building.
I would say the island area as well, it felt, like, aesthetically pleasing, because we're so used to seeing what the world of The Last of Us looks like. Like, you know, it's modern society in a derelict form, but this is, like, a new build, a new type of society, and it was interesting to see a different location for once.
And it ends with that horrific little mini boss melee fight with the guy's face just gets slowly
Jesus
hacked.
Yes.
At that point, I was like, that was my equivalent of the rafts in the first game, maybe even one too many. Like, at that point, I'd got the pattern of those melee fights. Now it's like, dodge, dodge, hit, dodge, dodge, hit.
Now he's a bit injured. Like, dodge, 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 hit.
But I did like just the brutality of that fight was, like, it was horrible. I don't know how he was still going at the end. His face was basically not there.
Those knife slashes, and we'll get to that when we talk about the fight later on as well. Like, they are so, like, visceral and gruesome. Yeah. Like, you feel and see every single one of them.
Yeah. Well, you kind of get another little fight, which I've heard some people complain a bit about. It is basically borrowed from the David fight from the first game, which is the fight against Ellie.
Oh, the hiding
in the theater. Yeah. Like, the showdown, which I thought... I think a lot of people probably at that point think, right, this is the end of the game. What's going to happen? How did you guys think it was going to go?
I don't know. I did feel like there was going to be a choice, like you said. I did think I was going to be forced to kill Ellie, or one potentially flip back and play as. But I thought the as the fight, I thought it was a bit cheap.
I thought the fight was pretty dull.
I died quite a lot.
Yeah, I like the feeling of Ellie using all the tools you've used against you. Like when she starts setting up the bombs and stuff, I was like, "Oh, that's a very cool little touch." Yeah. But I think the fight itself is quite poor in terms of what I thought was going to happen. Like, I'm really bad in films at like guessing twists. Like I really get involved in the moment and I don't try and guess my way out of it. But I think at that point I was expecting Ellie to be killed. Especially with the fucking sheer level of fucking spattering that Abby's given her whenever you catch her. Like I thought it was going to get to that point of like essentially a mirror of Joel for Dina.
I thought it was going to be a scenario that almost happens at the end, which they end up basically killing each other and it's just left with like Lev and Dina or just Lev. So I thought it was going to be a just mutual assured destruction. Yeah. But didn't quite happen. Yeah, that fight was a bit, especially with the bit, it was like Ellie can't be attacked head on. It's like, have you seen the size of Abby? She could take her head on. I know she has a knife, but I don't know. Yeah, that was a very gamey bit of the game, wasn't it? But it did serve the story very well. Obviously, she lets her live, which comes back, doesn't quite come back to haunt her, but she lets her live again, which at that point I was questioning. Would you really let her live again?
Well,
Lev is the decider.
So this is kind of my wider thing with Abby in general. Is like, I think I've talked about this possibly with both of you. Like, Abby's reasoning for getting so focused on saving Lev and Yara is the only bit of character development in a game that does really good character development that I just don't fully understand, and I don't feel like enough time was placed on it. I get why she, once she's invested in them, I get why she protects them, and I get why she goes with Lev and lets Ellie and Dina live, all that stuff. I don't understand what changes in her at that point in the game to make her so fixated on saving them. And like the amputation section, which by the way I thought was something could be cut until we got the mirror image of her running into another operating theater full of her dead loved ones, which is horrific and actually makes up for all of that stuff. But I never got a sense of like what moment has snapped her that she needs this redemption story.
I feel like it was kind of bubbling under, like you can tell when she meets Isaac, she doesn't really agree with what the WLF are doing. I don't think she's ever really fit in with them. She's a firefly and she kind of just joined
But you
them.
Say that, but she's never like really... she's like one of the leaders. Everyone knows her. Like that's there's this true. Weird sense of like she's done all this stuff with them that we've never seen, and suddenly she's just like switched off from it. And I don't know where that's happened. Because I get the sense that Owen's never been into it. We see that multiple times, but she's the one in flashbacks
maybe
like training and all that stuff.
Maybe she was part of it and using it basically to get to Joel as a vehicle. And once she'd done that, she was like, well, I feel like my purpose here is done and I don't need I don't really agree in the greater cause of it.
So I get that. I don't, but her single-minded pursuit of it always feels like, when she says, you're my people, which is an amazing line. That feels more like I need to redeem myself, which would imply that she's sad about killing Joel, but we never get that sense either. It's other people who constantly say that they're upset that they did it. I don't know. Like, is a small issue. I think the game does not revolve around this stuff. It's just the one part of Abby where I'm like, I don't feel fully informed on why she's decided this needs to happen. I just think it's kind of strange.
But you get the impression she's never interacted with any sort of Seraphites apart from, you know, fighting them in the past. Because the fact that she constantly calls them scars as well, and she has to be constantly corrected. And it's, I suppose, meeting them as people and seeing, you know, their true selves and their hearts. And I don't know, there's some sort of redemption there. Yeah. You know,
I can see that.
But Lev is obviously the one who convinces her not to kill Ellie, which is kind of Ellie eventually pays back that gesture, I suppose, after deciding to go after him again.
In a real grim way.
Straight off that section, this is the first time I thought, is the game ending? And then you get the scene on the farm with JJ the baby, who is the cutest baby I've ever seen.
Did all of you sit on the tractor long enough to hear the potato song?
No.
Oh, yeah, mate, yeah, if you sit on the tractor for long enough, she sings a song about potatoes to JJ. Oh, and I genuinely thought for a second she was singing Baked Potato Saved My Life from Shooting Stars. I was well into it.
That's the first time I thought the game was ending, when you sit on that tractor, because it hangs there for a long time.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not satisfied here. That is not
I started making excuses to myself about how it was a good game, despite the ending in my head. I was just like, okay, I can get ready to have this argument. And then...
Because there is no way that could have a happy ending, that story.
No.
And then obviously you get the bit in the barn where she's quite obviously suffering very badly from PTSD.
Yeah.
But like hallucinatory PTSD, which is pretty full on. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I've only seen that scene once. I need to watch it again. So I can't quite quite remember exactly what you see.
There's she runs down the stairs, but the stairs are much longer, and Joel is much more pointedly shouting for her help rather than just screaming in pain. And then doesn't she also get flashbacks of him, of his bleeding face, or is that just later?
I think that's
when
later,
they're having the fight on the beach.
I can't remember. Yeah, I just couldn't remember if she opened the door and saw something and then it cuts or whatever. But
Obviously, there's that bad bit. She's not doing well. And then Tommy turns up and kind of just stokes the fire by saying, I know where she
again,
is.
Again, I love this feeling of like, we've been conditioned to think Tommy is basically a good dude the whole time. And he's the one who causes, like, again, just complete horror for everyone.
Yeah.
And like, I don't love that he did it, but I love that that's another wrinkle of character where you're just like, he's not the good guy in all of this.
No, he's as bad as Ellie is as well. Like, he's the one who sets off immediately when Joel's first killed to go hunting.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he could argue that he kills as many people as Ellie kills. We don't really know.
He certainly kills more of her friends, of Abby's Joel's friends.
Yeah.
He's just very much Joel's brother. They think alike, don't they? They're very one, like, single-minded, like, I've got to do this, whether it's the most selfish thing. Like, you don't really is it Maria, Tommy's wife? Like, we don't really hear from her again. I assume she's doing fine. I don't know if she was happy with Tommy going off.
Well, no, they've broken up at the end.
She said to go get Tommy back.
That's
right. Yeah.
So much going on this game. but yeah, obviously, after thinking about it and Dina not being overly happy with the idea, Ellie
that
goes
seems
off.
Fucking heartbreaking, man. It's
because you know that she's not, like, at the end after everything, you know she's not going to be
like
there.
The way that scene goes with her initially treating it like it's nothing, like, stop packing your bag, we'll talk about it in the morning, and then it becomes more and more pointed to the point where she's like whispering no when her hand's being taken away from Ellie's side. It's just like fucking so bad. It's like so horrible to watch. Especially as, like, by that point in the game, like, Dina's such a lovable presence and feels so good for Ellie in such an obvious way. Like, this is what I love, is that the game is not just structured like a TV series, but it has the same effects as a TV series where you grow to love characters across the length of them for not just what they do but who they are. And like, it's so nice to watch Dina, and so hard to watch that element, and to know almost certainly that that's goodbye to Dina as well for us is really strong.
Well,
because then you go on.
I was gonna say, I love the idea that she has a really lovely relationship with Jesse's parents as well, with their grandchild as well. And that's where I imagine, obviously, she's gone back there, right?
Yeah,
the implication is that she's gone back to Jackson to be with them.
We assume that JJ is Joel Jesse or Jesse Joel.
Oh, I don't know. I never even thought about it.
Yeah, I didn't think about it either. Yeah.
Oh, it's got to be Joel Jesse, hasn't it? Because the two dads.
I'd say
of the baby and
first.
Yeah.
Jesse Joel.
Rolls off the tongue. Yeah.
Jesse Joel. I don't know what Dina's surname is. So
good question.
I don't think they ever actually. Did you carve the name into the tree?
Oh, yes. I didn't know.
Yeah.
You can put JJ. So there's a tree that has like D plus E,
and that's
then you put JJ underneath it.
And it's really like graphically impressive the way she carves it in as well. I was really impressed with how well she did it. Normally in a game, they'd just sort of, they'd put their hand in front of it and then they'd remove it and it would be there afterwards. But no, you see the actual grooves going in.
Yeah. Then we get the big finale, which you see Ellie go off and like, right, I'm playing as Ellie. We're going to hunt down Abby, although I really don't want to do this at this point. Mm. But then, before you do that, you play as Abby again for a bit. And you get... So this is a big point. I feel like this is deliberately left kind of open. when you contact the Fireflies on the radio, do you think do you think it's the Fireflies, or do you think it's the Rattlers?
Well, yeah, that's my thought.
Carter, you've now convinced me otherwise.
Yeah, because it has since been proven. So you know at the end of the game, the menu screen changes to the sunny boat on the beach. Yeah. That building in the background, which I at first thought was the Rattler hideout, it isn't. Oh, it's a building on Catalina
where
Island.
The guy says,
if you look at the real life pictures.
So that's where the guy from the Fireflies says to go.
So that signifies that they got to Catalina Island. It doesn't signify that the Fireflies are there, but at least it signifies that they went to Catalina Island, I suppose.
It's very coincidental. That's the same sort of building.
That's what we said. Like,
it's when you look at it. I look back though. When you look at it in the game, it doesn't actually look like that building. Okay.
But
it's similar. It's a roundish sort of building.
I can't tell whether it's purposeful or not that they purposely say like a dome building, a round building, like make those things sound the same.
I think I would have preferred it if the Fireflies didn't exist anymore. It just makes it even more bleaker.
But they still might not, to be fair. Yeah. But all we know is, at this point, it looks like Abby and Lev got to Catalina Island to that building. The Fireflies might
not be
there.
I'd need
to listen
to that radio conversation again, because I want... If Abby says first, are you on Catalina, or something to that effect, then it could still be the Rattlers fooling her. But to me... That final menu screen says that there are Fireflies there, and that it is something of a happy ending for her.
Yeah,
and I feel like we'll move on to where we think of the ending in a bit, but first we've got to actually talk about what happens there, which is, just as you think everything's not okay, but they throw in this Rattler faction who are just basically horrible creeps who like to kidnap people and feed them to clickers. I'm not really sure what
they're turning them into. Like, there's that infected... the guy they have infected as a punishment for escaping.
Yeah.
It's fucking horrific. I loved setting him free and watching him kill all of them. That was great.
Yes. I love the fact that they introduced a new faction so later on. We're clearly, like, significantly worse than the other two factions as well.
Oh, yeah. They're just... they're like Davids, aren't they? They're not quite cannibals.
It's kind of
horrible.
It's kind of an excuse again to let you go full Rambo, because they give you so much ammo in that section as well. Like, it does feel like
SMG.
Almost in like quite a morbid way, like a reward. Like, you've got to the end of the game and you've been so good about conserving ammo that it's just like, look, these guys are fucking dickheads. It doesn't matter. Just have a go.
Yeah. You say that, though. I actually ran out of stuff and found that last fight very hard.
Oh, really?
When you get in there, like, that last... When you go upstairs, like, the very last fight, and there's, like, eight people in that little upstairs bit, I was like... I just ended up sprinting through.
Oh, man.
Which is my get-out strategy.
Absolute merc town. I had so much submachine gun ammo. It was great.
I used it all.
Yeah, that whole last bit reminded me of Breaking Bad, weirdly, in the fact that... We've got all these bad groups and bad evils, but then in the last section, there's the neo-Nazi group that step up.
Yeah.
And they're worse than everybody else. And they're the ones that can, you know, you don't feel bad for them in the slightest, whereas you can sympathise with Seraphites and the WF in certain respects.
I like that we get a look at Californian destruction as well. Like, there's something very satisfying. Yeah. They're very good at finding new locations for you to be interested in looking at. And, like, I'm very into the... how they've retrofitted... I've said it so many times in this already, but like how they've retrofitted stuff is always interesting to me. And I just love the look of that place.
Those infected must stink.
Oh, man.
It must be grim. So hot. It must be.
Or they'd smell delicious.
Absolutely stink.
Like mushrooms frying.
Like mushrooms. Yeah, like a nice mushroom risotto. Ooh. I wonder if you could...
No.
You could cook a clicker?
No. I mean, yes,
is
but
it just,
you shouldn't.
If you cook it enough, would the infection go?
It's just the spores that get you infected, right? So if you cooked it, you'd probably kill all the spores.
Surely they're carrying the infection of some kind. Like, if you have infected beef and you cooked it, it's still...
Did they ever cover infected animals?
I don't think they could ever turn. I think they just die, don't they? I don't know if they can carry it or not. But anyway, after that little fight with the Rattlers, we obviously get to the beach after freeing Abby, who is being crucified at this point.
Recognize her immediately. Obviously, there's the prompt that you know it's kind of Abby.
So
it's prompting them.
No, I thought I found her and I didn't. It was someone else.
I kind of had the opposite where I was like, that's Abby. And then as I got closer, I was like, is that Abby? And then the prompt came up and I thought that was quite nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That fight is
just fucking horrible.
It's just grueling, isn't it? Because that is, like, I know people have said this a lot. This was definitely the point in the game where I was like, I don't want to press square here.
Yeah.
I don't want to kill her. And I'm very glad. Apparently, for so long, like, for almost two-thirds of the way of making this game, I think, Naughty Dog have said, you were going to kill Abby at the end. But they felt that Ellie just needed that, like, sense of redemption at the end or something. It would have been just
In a good way, I think it's having its cake and eating it, because it's not a redemption for Ellie. She doesn't get what she wants. It's actually horrifically unpleasant what happens to her, and she actually ends up losing more as a result. Like,
she loses everything. It's such a just exercise.
Exactly. I think it's just... Yeah. It's such a... I think it's a really neat way to end that game. I think killing would be too much closure. Unsatisfying at the same time.
That was the second point where I thought the game was going to end, when she's just sitting in the water at the end. I thought that's the
of the boat on the main menu. I thought that would be the final shot, because it just makes sense. But
yeah, but after that you go back to the farm, and the first thing they show you is Ellie's two fingers, which have been bitten off. Which I can't imagine how that feels.
Painful, probably.
I didn't put two and two together at first that would affect the guitar.
It's literally
playing,
the first thing I thought.
As soon as she sat down with it and you try and play it and you just are hitting the bum notes, you're just like, oh god. Like, that was that shot of her trying to play guitar and just looking off to the side is maybe the most heartbreaking image I've seen in a game.
Fucking horrible.
She just needs to train herself to play left-handed. She can hold the plexiglass with that.
Or you just do your lad from Black Sabbath who'd lost his fingers, Yomi.
Oh, god. More like C-Stick Steve, who used to play with one string.
Yeah, just get one of Tommy Yomi's little
lot of options for
bar chord things. That's fine. You'll have fun. You'll have a great time.
But yeah, and that's the third time I thought the game was going to end, when she stopped playing that. But then I'm so glad they had that Joel scene, because up until that point, as far as you knew, the last time they spoke to each other was
at the dance, wasn't it?
Them storming off and just not liking each other in an argument. And that would have been such a sad way for them to say goodbye to each other.
I cannot believe in retrospect that that scene was what they showed at E3.
It's mad, isn't it?
Like, it actually, it kind of makes sense, because it actually gives you, if you've watched it, it gives you a context all the way through the game that sort of helps with the Dina relationship a bit. But, like, it's nuts. It's like one of the last things in the entire game.
I text Caddy about it.
So I was waiting for it. I was like, where is this scene coming?
Yeah. Oh, I text Caddy about it at one point going, I guess they're not showing this scene.
I thought they'd got rid of it.
And I thought it was so cool that they just made it just for E3 at one point. I was like, but then also, you're right, like, if you didn't... Like, for example, my brother would play this game. He wouldn't have seen that at E3. Yeah. So, you know, the people would have lost out on context there. I thought the way they repositioned the timeline all the way through this game is phenomenal storytelling. Yeah. Like, the way they put, like, sections here and sections there. And it just always lent into the feeling that you're supposed to have.
And it just feels earned as well.
It's nice to know. Yeah, exactly. And they by no means built bridges between them, but it's nice to know that they kind of were going to, in a way. Yeah. And I feel that's what that scene is so important, because not only does that make Ellie feel kind of better about the situation, but I feel like that also is what makes her at the end go off and think, if I was going to give Joel the chance, like, maybe Dina will give me the chance to build the bridge back together. Yeah. I feel like that's where she's going at the end. She's going to
it's
go
also
find
an,
Dina.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's also an extra. Actually, no, maybe I don't believe that. Anyway, it's also an extra heartbreak, because you get this sense that, like, all the way through the game, you've got the feeling of, like, she's going after Joel because she has these fond feelings for him that were gone. But actually, is it literally the day before he dies? Yeah. So the day before he dies, they finally started to make up. After, what, like, 2 years?
Four years?
Well, 2 years. The flashback in St. Mary's is 2 years.
A couple.
Yeah.
So, like, 2 years, and they finally made a step, and then he's dead. Like, it's horrible.
But that's what we haven't really touched on, that the fact that the revelation, they showed that in a cutscene that Ellie went and found by herself what really happened that day. Like, because thought like that was going to be a big moment in the story where Ellie, you discover what really happened, that Joel let you go, basically. Yeah, the way they did that in the cutscene, and it kind of like just mirrored the shots from the end of the first game as well, with the close up of her, like, as well, like, there's some like real like flex in there doing with some framing, like the fact that the first shot of the game is almost the same as the end shot of the game, just the focus of the guitar, the butterfly on the guitar, is just such balls on the table thing of like, yeah, we're making art.
I think that flashback scene at the end as well, I think Troy Baker's performance is like incredible.
Yeah, when his voice breaks
as well, he's like,
he's, that one little noise.
He's so strong in certain respects, but he's completely pathetic in other senses as well. Like, he's so weak, and just, he just wants Ellie in his life so much that he, yeah, he, like you said, his voice breaking, and he's just so weak to her.
It's, yeah. So what, you don't think maybe that Ellie's gone back to get Dina
I
and
think
JJ?
There's enough dejection and loss of belief in her that I think there's easily a point at which she just leaves and just goes away from everyone she knew. Like, but I think that's the point of that final shot, is you're not meant to have any sense of what her motivation is there anymore. Like, this is the first time in the game where we're not privy to a flashback that explains her thoughts perfectly. And
I feel like her leaving the guitar there is kind of her burying at least her memories of Joel. Like, that guitar symbolizes Joel to her. It's like, I'm putting that all behind. I feel like her sense for revenge has gone.
But equally, she's
signing off that chapter.
She's equally left behind pictures of JJ and Dina she's painted. She's left behind her journal. She's left behind all, like, literally everything.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Well, that leads on nicely to A. Do we think there'd be a part three? V. Do you want one, and what would you do with it?
I think there will be one. Whether there should be one. Yeah.
It sold so, like, I know it's hard cash stuff, but it sells so well that you can't believe there won't be some form of another.
I know Neil Druckmann said before that he only wants to do it if it's right, and he only wants to do it if it's about these characters or this story.
Okay.
But I kind of want it not to be. Like, I think the world of The Last of Us is strong enough, and there are enough potential stories. You know what? I would fucking love, like, an anthology game of the world of The Last of Us, and it's like mini stories, like 10 stories about 10 people in 10 different places that maybe intertwine in some way. But, like, I don't know. Yep. There would be something so satisfying about seeing more of this world and how the hope and the horror in it is so strong.
For me, I know people said this about the first game. I think this ends on such a perfect note that I don't need more. And I know that they went and made this, which I think is better than the first game. But I don't, like, I feel like Ellie's and Abby's story to me is done. I don't need any more of those.
I think
characters.
I think it would do a disservice,
I would be
to
intrigued
the ending
to see
to have more Ellie. Yeah.
Exactly. I could maybe see them doing something with Lev.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my thought
is, I don't
know
what that would be.
It would maybe be something with Lev and Abby and their journey, and some new incident that provokes some story in their life, as opposed to Ellie. Like I said, I don't know what more you can do with Ellie at this point that isn't regurgitating things we've already seen. It needs to be. It needs to have a new theme, basically.
Yeah, they might do a spin-off, Left Behind style sort of thing. I don't know if they will do that.
I wouldn't,
for this one, I don't feel like it needs a.
I wouldn't mind
that.
a lost legacy about Lev, like, you know, like a little expand-alone type feel to it. I think that would be a really effective way of doing it, if you're not going to do a full sequel, you know.
But
I
want the JJ story. That's what we want.
Yeah, well, I think me and Cardi were talking about this, like, just a Last of Us that abandons all the nuance completely. It's just JJ on a fucking rampage, like, out, just infected killer.
I play it. Yeah. Well, we've talked for a long time there, but, you know, there's a lot to talk about. And I'm sure that won't be the last time we do talk about this game. Because it... I know you can... I'm trying to think of the best way of saying this. I know there's people out there that don't like it, but to me, you can't look at this story and tell me it's a bad story or it's a badly told story. You can think, you can disagree with some things that are made, but I don't see how you can look at it and go, this is bad. Like,
I mean, especially a 0 out of 10. I've seen so many people who say it is bad. And I think that's people who just, if I'm being kind, I think that's people who don't like character studies. Like, I think we were talking about this, Cardi. Like, I think there's more in terms of, like, big themes, things to think about in the first game. Like, I think the ending is more thought-provoking and more, like, prompts more discussion. I think I prefer the story of this game because I like character studies. And I think if you don't care about learning about people, which is totally fair, some people want narrative rather than character, then you might not like this game. And I think you would be doing yourself, I think you would make, be making yourself look slightly silly by saying it is a badly told story. It might not be the story you want.
That's what I'm trying to get right. But it's not a badly told story. And that's what I say, a lot of my favourite films are character studies, and that's what I look for in things. I like, and I agree, like, don't agree, but you know, I understand why a lot of people think it's maybe overly long or slow, but I love that sort of pace in something. I think they pace it remarkably well for something.
Barring the bits of Abby's story that we've talked about, I think there's very little that touches this for like a quiet, loud structure, for want of a better term. Like this feeling of like constantly going on and off and learning about people and then action.
But I am, as always, intrigued to hear what people think. Who, as long as they're measured opinions and not people just shouting in comments,
obviously bad faith arguments being made about this stuff, and like, obviously not interested in that.
And you're allowed to, I don't want it to feel like I'm saying you're not allowed to not like it, because you are allowed to not.
I would
like it, but just for the right reasons.
If you don't like it, I would love to, and you are a reasonable person, which if you're listening to us this long, I very much think you are. I would love to know what it is that doesn't work for you. And IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com is the place to do that. Market as spoilers just so no one else on the team sees anything they don't want to see.
Yeah. And we'll address this at some point soon at the end of a podcast in a heavily labelled spoiler section. But I'm interested to see what people don't like about it, because there's very little that I don't. Good chat.
It's great.
I feel like we covered a lot there. There's probably
now play some Future Days at the end and we'll all cry.
We go. Perfect.
See ya.
Bye.
If I ever were to lose you, I'd surely lose myself. Everything I have found, dear, I'm not found by myself. Try, and sometimes you'll succeed to make this man of me. All my stolen, missing parts, I've no need for anymore. I believe, and I believe, 'cause I can see my days of you.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.